The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to the program. Framed Innocence. That is the title of the book, Framed Innocence. My fight for justice. The author is Frank Lordy. Frank is in Ohio. Frank, welcome to the program. You've got an amazing story. Framed Innocence is the book. What is your story? It's hard to believe.
My story is about fighting corruption in Mahoning County. And for years, we were known as Little Chicago. And the bad people had a lot of bad influence on city government, county government, whatever, infiltrated by the powers to be that took control of that government. And so when I got in and my colleague, we got elected to the Board of Commissioners, two out of three control the board. So we decided to go after the head of the snake, which was the party chairman, who controlled most of the elected officials, including some of those in the judicial branch, Eric. Nobody could beat him, including our congressman. Four years. Our congressman was getting 95% of the vote around here. Unbelievable. He couldn't beat him. We found out he's elected by the party people, the precinct people that live throughout the county that are appointed to work the precincts. They were obligated to him, and how they stayed obligated to him is the majority of office holders would feed him jobs. Very shrewdly, he passed them out to the precinct people's families who gave their son or daughter a job. They could care less how he ran the county.
This is, I just want to say, this is political corruption in our time in the United States of America. This is Mahoning County in Ohio. But you, Frank Lordy, the book is called Framed Innocence, My Fight for Justice. How did you decide to get involved in this? And then, of course, you've been through hell as a result of it. We're glad you came out on the other side of it. But where did you desire, or how did you see the corruption and go after it? And what happened?
I'd hear it on the media all the time, Eric. And I'd be sitting at the firehouse as a former firefighter in the city of Youngstown. And I'd say, how do these guys spend money they don't have? Well, then the light bulb went off. It's because it's not their money. And I said, I could do that job. I was working two jobs. I was working a fire department, 24 on, 48 off. On my off time, I'm running through my fire protection business and hood cleaning business. 2 days there, back to the firehouse, back and forth. I did that for 15 years. I decided I could run. And if I didn't make it, I can run my business full time and be successful and hopefully strive for success. And so therefore, I decided to run. I get off. I run, first time ran. The inside party people that weren't connected to the chairman, maybe 10%, 15%. Frank, you got to run again. You got your name out against the machine and the party people. I don't know what a good showing was or not, because I wasn't in it. I'm naive to politics. So I run again, but I start a year and a half early, Eric. I start laying groundwork because I didn't know about going to all the bingos, the nursing homes, all the places that I could never get a chance to see because I didn't realize how big the county was. So I got a real lesson. We had a courthouse restoration project. It went in a tank. The commissioners budgeted for $4 million. It went over $8 million. The auditor, who had a squeaky clean reputation, is feeding the media, made big news. That became my campaign format. And so we go after we knock the chairman off, we go after the two most corrupt elected officials elected by the public and most powerful in all the counties in the United States, these two offices, the county prosecutor and the county sheriff. And then we knocked them out. We knock them out. Now they're going to form a Mahoning County Fraud Task Force to clean up public corruption. Okay. The media was all over it. The public loved it. But I said, the media never asked a $64,000 question. Why are two guys going out of office at the end of the year that have been in for office are going to clean up public corruption? The public didn't know they're going after the white hats, not the black hats. They start the investigation against me, my colleague, the new chairman that we got in, and the mayor of one of the cities, because nobody else would get involved, elected officials, because they knew nobody could beat the chairman. So when we beat him, we were the targets. They got me out of the floor. They checked everything. They went through everything we signed as commissioners, folders about 6 inches high to see for corruption. Nothing. Went after our personal businesses, brought everybody in, including the IRS, to go after everything we had known. Nothing. Well, they get two guys that we fired for committing felonies, and they get on the stand and weren't very truthful. And so therefore, they got me. Charged me with a bunch of counts, 18 counts. Here's what I learned about the system, criminal justice. Pre-trial negative publicity, 18 counts. A lot of people voted for me. They like me. They're trying to get me during my next election. I still got elected. So they kept the investigation going. It lasted for 2 years. They get me on 18 counts, felonies and misdemeanors. The last plea bargain they offer me, Eric, the week of my trial. Commissioner, we'll drop 17 of the 18 charges. You plead to one misdemeanor, guarantee you no jail time. And by the way, step down out of office and you could run for office again with a misdemeanor. Well, I'm not the kind of guy that's going to say I did something wrong. No, and I didn't. But if I did, I wouldn't have the gall to run again. So that's what happened. And they end up sending me away for a theft in office charge, fined me on three other charges. And the amount of the charge for the theft in office was $200. First time offender, $200. That's a little ridiculous. But I'll tell you what the theft in office is not. You got to read the book. The theft in office was that I did not steal money. I did not take bribes. It was not extortion. It was not embezzlement, or it wasn't equipment. So you got to read the book to find out what it's about.
Well, the book is framed Innocence, My Fight for Justice. Where does God come into the picture? Because you went through hell. I mean, I know a little bit about the story. The corruption in America, I mean, we've all got to fight it. And we've all got to be aware of it, which is why I wanted to talk to you about your book, Framed Innocence. We need to know this is happening in our time. When did God come into your story?
When I got indicted, I sought the Lord. I was brought to a church, a Christian church. This is funny because I walked into the church, being a Catholic, being an altar boy, sit, stand, kneel, going to church, went to Catholic high school. I walk into this church and I go, the person that brought me there, I said, this isn't a real church. They go, what do you mean, Frank? I says, I don't see Jesus on the cross. And then they explained to me that he already paid the price for our sins and he's down. He's going to come back in glory someday. So I prayed to him when I was going to get sent away. And I prayed hard because only what I heard about prisons. And so I said, Lord, I don't know where I'm going right now. And I don't know where I'm headed. And I don't know what's there. But I pray for your protection over me and around me. Well, you provided that protection in me. The only thing is, I didn't really realize it till I got out of that prison. But people came around and I was guarded and protected. And I thank God. Hallelujah. He brought me through that. There's things I saw in there that I heard about went on, but I got to see them, to see how they act and will commit crimes again to get out of paying three square meals. And the guards turn their head. And I thank God, Eric, that they found out before I got to a couple of prisons that I was not a police commissioner. And anybody that had anything to do with children, it's true. The guards turn their cheek and walk out. And there's a penalty to pay for that. And rightfully so, but maybe that don't sound right. But I guess in my heart, from what I've learned about that crime, I wish there's some kind of modern technology that their DNA could be changed, because you put them in for 20 or 30 years, they get out, they're just going to do it again.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you've seen some really, really ugly stuff. We've just got the 30 seconds left. Why do you decide to write a book? Let's end on that.
Because I wanted to let people know that when you fight the system, what could happen to you and how corrupt the system is. What I went through on a local level is pretty similar to what our former President Trump went through. And I got some sayings, one like, who's checking the checker? It was an inside deal. But I don't know any of this, Eric, because I'm naive. So I want them to know when you battle, they offer you them deals. Most people take the deals. I want the truth to come out, and I want crime and corruption to be eliminated as best as I can.
It's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, Frank. Folks, the book is called Framed Innocence, My Fight for Justice. We need to to learn a lesson. I hope folks will get the book, Frank. Framed Innocence, My Fight for Justice. Very important story. God bless you. Thanks for coming on.
Eric, can I close with one piece?
Sure.
For evil to succeed, good men must do nothing.
Exactly. We talk about that on this program. Thank you for doing something. God bless you.
Thank you for having me, and God bless you.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out. Hey there, folks. Welcome back. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. As you know, I'm playing the role of Eric Metaxas, but that's not enough for the whole show. I need to get guests. And fortunately today, I was able to get David Horowitz. David, is it really you?
Yep.
It's you. Yes. You come out with a new book every month. What's this one called? The Enemy Within?
The Enemy
Brand new book.
How a Totalitarian Movement is Destroying America. A totalitarian movement is the leadership of the Democrat Party.
Well, we all know that. We watch the news.
Well, when people don't, you know, we talk about cancel culture. It's fascist culture.
Correct.
Nazis that burned books in the 30s.
I want to say you're somebody that understands this better than most. The book is The Enemy Within. David Horowitz, you're writing about something you know about because you were raised pro-communist. For people that haven't seen you before, haven't seen you on this program before, just give us a little taste of how you came to where you are today. How did you grow up?
My parents were card-carrying communists. I never heard them use the word communist to describe themselves, but all of our friends were communists, and they all called themselves progressives, which would be a clue to what's happened to us now. I was a founder of the New Left in the 60s. I edited the largest magazine of the left. I raised a lot of money for the Black Panther Party, which is
what was the largest magazine on the left? Was that Time or Life?
Not in those days. It was Rare Parts.
If that's my wife, I'm not here.
No, it's mine. I don't know.
Okay. Seriously, what was the magazine that you were running?
Ramparts.
Ramparts.
Yeah.
Were a confirmed lefty. Where'd you go to college? I'm just guessing it had to be Columbia.
I did.
That's right. So you're a communist in the 60s at Columbia. Were you still there in 68 when they took over?
a Marxist revolutionary. That's what I thought of myself as.
As a Marxist revolutionary.
I raised over $100,000 and bought a Baptist church in Oakland's inner city and turned it into a Panther school. And it was their base of operations.
How come white people are always heading up these radical black movements? Whenever I see BLM, I see like really pale guys with beards, you know, white guys with hoodies. It's kind of a fascinating thing, isn't it?
Well, the left has, you know, they're such good liars and they have a very seductive message. So if you want to feel that you're a good person, you're helping the poor, you're helping the oppressed, you're on the left. But look at what the left is doing. Look at what the Democrat Party is doing to defend their voter fraud. They don't want IDs. They have utter contempt for poor black people. And they think are too stupid to get themselves IDs. That's how they get food stamps and welfare. You have to have an ID. So they've attacked the city of Atlanta and deprived it of $100 million. Atlanta is an African-American city. Everybody in charge in Atlanta is black. So they punish black people to defend their right to steal elections and create a one-party state, which is good communist. That's what they want to do. But our language is not up to this.
That's our language?
Yeah. You know, we call it cancel culture. It's book burning. What else is it? You didn't light the bonfire, but you take the books and the movies and whatever it is, Cinderella and Peter Pan. It's horrifying what they're doing. And they're brainwashing little kids in school. It's epic child abuse, teaching them they're gender fluid. They can choose to be boys or girls. I mean, it's just, this is crazy stuff.
So other than getting a copy of The Enemy Within, what can we do? In other words, when you look around, you know, people are always saying, what can I do? What do you suggest that people can do?
So you have to go for their jugular the way they do. And they call Republicans racists, basically traitors, and so forth. White supremacists, if they're white people who disagree with them. Uncle Toms, if they're black people. And what are Republicans and conservatives call the left? Liberals. They're not liberal about anything except bankrupting us and hard drugs and criminals. They're very liberal towards criminals. Democrat Party is a criminal party. It supports criminals with these, you know, get out of jail free cards, opening up our southern border in the midst of a pandemic, for crying out tears. How many people are they going to kill? They say that a million illegals will cross the Joe Biden's open border this year. 10% of them have COVID. That's 100,000 COVID carriers, the Democrats. But you don't hear Republicans shouting this from the rooftops, as they should, just like you don't hear how they're punishing Black Atlanta in order to defend voter fraud.
Wouldn't you say, David, though, I just have to say that, you know, if somebody asks me, what's the how is this happening? I would argue that it has been the abdication of conservatives, abdicating the media, generally speaking, the culture, all the cultural institutions are progressive, leftist, Marxist.
This happened years ago. I wrote 5 books about how the communist left had taken over the universities and was suppressing and purging conservatives. And nobody on the right really paid much attention. One book I did called The Professors sold a lot of copies. But basically, you know, Republicans are in control of over 30 legislatures. They could start defunding these state universities with at least the programs in them that are just indoctrination programs, like all the studies programs.
Okay, so what we're lacking is leadership and guts on the Republican side.
And I'm very pleased from where I sit. An optimistic trend has been that conservatives are now in the media. When I first came into the right in the 80s, all conservatives wanted to be was opinion columnists. Now we have journalists, reporters. There's a lot of media outlets. I think conservatives, you know, having started very late, like 40 years or 50 years late, are you know, catching up. But it's still a dominant leftist environment. All of our, I mean, I write about this in The Enemy Within, all of our cultural institutions, you know, from the museums, all the philanthropies that fund the arts and fund policymaking, 501c3s. I did a whole book called The New Leviathan about how our democracy was being destroyed maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And it showed, I had charts with, it showed that the left, their foundations were 13 times the size of conservative foundations. You know, George Soros has this organization, they give tens of millions of dollars to leftist causes. There's nobody on the right doing that.
Why do you suppose that is? It's fascinating to me.
It didn't get one review in the conservative press.
Which book, the New Leviathan, didn't get a review?
Yeah.
Now, why is that, David?
But conservatives, you know, conservatives are, they're, you know, a little bit out of touch, shall we say. They want America to be the way it was designed, but it isn't. It's way away from that. For example, I had an academic freedom campaign, which just said there should be, professors have an obligation to present two sides of a controversial issue fairly. That's all it said. And I was attacked by conservatives because I wanted legislatures to pass resolutions to this effect. I wanted conservatives to use their muscle. Conservatives, you know, they think that that's, you know, that's, it's not conservative. They're conservative.
Well, I mean, listen, it's not like they don't have a point. You and I would agree that they should do that. I mean, look, this, everything always reminds me of my book on Bonhoeffer. You had Hitler's enemies initially were too gentlemanly to stand up against him. And if you're going to play patty cake with the devil, you know, you may be in trouble eventually.
That's exactly the problem. Look, whatever it is, 300 people or 400 people broke into the Capitol. The Democrats immediately called it an armed insurrection, even though there were no arms. And everybody who died, most three of them from natural causes, was a Trump supporter. They didn't attack people the way
I want to. Okay, when we come back, I want to talk to you about this because this has become a real bugbear for me. I'm talking to David Horowitz, folks. The new book is called The Enemy Within. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. We'll be right back. Hey folks, you certainly heard me talk about MyPillow and how their products have literally changed my life. Now, have you tried the pillow? They don't go flat. You can wash them, dry them as many times as you want, and they maintain their shape. They're made in the USA, and for a limited time, Mike Lindell is offering his premium MyPillows for the lowest price ever. You can get a standard queen premium MyPillow for $29.98. It's originally $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener's square, and use promo code ERIC. There you'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Folks, you know I use these products, and they're fantastic. Call 800-978-3057 and use promo code ERIC. Or call 800-978-3057. Use the promo code ERIC.
Hey, get rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get rhythm. When you get the blues, get a rock and roll.
Folks, I'm talking to David Horowitz. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. David, your book is called The Enemy Within. I want to talk about what you just mentioned. I've never been so amazed as the way whatever it was that happened at the Capitol was portrayed and has been portrayed, including by Republican legislators. They acted as though, I don't know, a bomb was set off, somebody was shot in the head. These things didn't happen. But what do you suppose people like, for example, Betsy DeVos, who is in the cabinet of the president, she issued some kind of a statement. Can you tell me what it was that she saw or heard that would lead her to do something like that?
I think they're just, they're totally intimidated. When the left attacks, they back off. The only Republican who goes right back in their face, well, now Ron DeSantis is doing it, has been Donald Trump. He's the only Republican who ever called a Democrat a racist, whereas that it's a racist party. Everybody can see it. You can see it in everything they do. But just to go back to this January 6th, okay, they called it an armed insurrection. They put 25,000 troops in the Capitol. What event, and it was being compared, they were condemning the pro-Trump crowd as a Holocaust, worse than 9/11, Pearl Harbor. And Republicans were condemning it, you know, in similar terms. What event does it remind you of? It's the Reichstag fire.
Oh, listen, everybody has been talking about that. I mean, at least on this program, it was the Reichstag fire for sure. I've never seen anything like it. But I still want to know, there has to be something that you and I missed, because when you've got people, even like Mike Pence and others, acting as though some gruesome thing happened that nobody's talking about. What was the gruesome thing that happened that they saw that we didn't see?
Nothing. They want to be squeaky clean. I mean, somebody did a study of the people. They were mainly poor people. They had been, you know, terribly affected by the way the Democrats closed down cities and states during the coronavirus. They shouldn't have been there. There were, you know, some Antifa people. But because you have a crazy, the big question is, where were the Capitol Police? Everybody knew this was going to happen. Trump asked for 10,000 troops. He said, I'll put 10,000 troops on January 6th to protect the Capitol because there could be trouble. And the Democrats said no. It was a setup, just like the Reichstag fire, which if people don't know, the Nazis, Hitler had been elected chancellor in Germany. And the Nazis burned down the Reichstag, which was their capital, blamed it on a Dutch communist, then proceeded to prosecute all of their opponents and establish the Third Reich. That's what the Democrat Party is doing. They wanted, 100 or 200? They wanted 100 Republicans expelled from Congress. They called it a white supremacist coup. I mean,
it's a level of madness. I have to say, it's just hard to take it in. It's hard to take in that they would use that kind of language. And it does make you wonder who exactly planned it, who was in on it. Do you have any ideas who was in on this? Because there's so many strange pieces to it.
Nancy Pelosi's in charge of the Capitol Police. Look, they murdered an Air Force veteran.
Well, David, excuse me, you're saying Nancy Pelosi's the head of she was in charge of the Capitol Police.
Now, an Air Force veteran of 14 years, an unarmed woman, a Trump supporter, was murdered by a Capitol Police officer. Pelosi and her friends have blocked. Nobody knows the name of the Capitol Police. There's no investigation, because this is a white woman. She's expendable. A black racist follower of Louis Farrakhan killed a Capitol Police officer, and they covered up his identity. They pretended, first of all, that he was white, and then when it was revealed that he was black, that's the end. You know, he happened 4 days ago. You don't hear about it. The Democrat Party is a racist, fascist party these days. And our language on the right, I should just say patriot's language, is way too mild in dealing with them. There are people still calling them liberals. They're vindictive bigots. Their goal is to establish a one-party state. They've opened our southern border in the midst of a pandemic, for crying out tears. why is nobody screaming about this? They estimate that there'll be a million illegals passing through Joe Biden's open border. 10% of them, we already know, are COVID carriers. That's 100,000 COVID carriers the Democrats are letting in. And you don't hear Republicans talking like this.
Well, you hear conservatives talking about it a lot on social media, but you do not hear conservative legislators doing very much about it. Who is in?
That's why I wrote the book, The Enemy Within. You have to name it. You have to be a. My book pulls no punches, and it goes
not like you.
Right. Well,
you look, because you've seen the other side, because you live the other side, you know what we're dealing with, and it's one of the reasons I always enjoy speaking with you, because you do know what it is that we're dealing with. You were part of it. It's radical. It's Marxist. They're not playing games. This is not JFK's Democratic Party. We're going to go to a break, folks. I am talking to David Horowitz. The new book is called, what's it called?
The Enemy Within.
The Enemy Within. Folks, we'll be right back.
I should have stayed on the phone. I should have listened to my own mind. You know you can't hold me forever. I didn't sign up.
Folks, I'm talking to David Horowitz. The book is The Enemy Within. David, this is all tough stuff. What gives you any hope? Why do you even bother?
I love this country. I mean, America is such a great, just a great country. It's pioneered the way to a society which is equal, integrated, inclusive, tolerant. And the Democrats are just destroying it. I will tell you something in terms of fighting back. Call them what they are, racists. They are racists. Everything is about skin color. The only systemic racism in our society is Democrat systemic racism. It's called affirmative action. But the Biden administration is doing all these programs that exclude white people as though white people are guilty of something because they're white. How racist is that? The only Republican I have ever heard call a Democrat a racist is Donald Trump. And it was Elijah Cummings, who was a racist. And these corrupt black politicians like Elijah Cummings, like James Clyburn, they fling around the race card, to intimidate people. They need it thrown back in their faces. That'll shut them up.
I've just got to ask you, do you believe that Joe Biden won the presidency genuinely?
No. Nobody in his right mind has looked at the evidence. You notice that they'll say it's been rejected by the courts. The courts never heard the case. The Democrats don't want anybody raising it. If you raise it, well, they wanted to throw Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley out of Congress for questioning the election when they had done the same thing in the previous election and also for both Bush elections, challenged the result. Which tells you really all you need to know. But if you look at the actual facts, who can believe Trump got 10 million more votes for his second term than the first term, 75 million votes. Nobody in American history has ever done that. The presidents always get less. Obama got fewer votes. Now you're going to tell me that this dementia case, Biden, it's like Bernie's holiday or whatever. I got this corpse there.
Yeah, weekend at Bernie's.
He's a vicious human being. He's a bully. He's corrupt. It's a criminal family. It's unbelievable. I mean, there's all these videos during the campaign of him attacking his own supporters if they disagree with him. and he lies. He'll give one sentence, he'll tell four lies in the sentence. He accused Trump of infecting every coronavirus patient. I mean, it's just insanity what this guy gets away with.
I want to ask you, though, because the people who say this election was not fair are being demonized. They're called conspiracy theorists. So I always want to ask someone like you, you really do believe what I have come to believe, that it was fishy enough that there's no way we can assume that Joe Biden really was elected. It's just not possible.
You know what the percentage by which Biden won the election? It's like 0.027%. 159 million voters and about 40,000 is the gap between Biden and Trump in the battleground states. And if you look at the specific states, the Democrats rigged the vote. The states are the election laws in the state are supposed to be run by the legislature. The Democrats shifted it in Pennsylvania, for example, to the Supreme Court. I mean, I don't want to go through all the details.
But no. But it's important. Let me ask you a simple question. Did Mike Pence have an opportunity to do something that he didn't do? Because some people have said to me, yes. Other people have said, absolutely not. There was nothing he could do.
I don't think he did. I think the big problem is they did it too late. The courts are very reluctant to overturn elections. When the Democrats in July sent out 600 lawyers and 10,000 volunteers to rig the election laws, which they did, to change the laws in the battleground states, that's when they needed to be challenged, and they weren't.
But the point is, if they did that, then even though they were cheating on the front end, technically you would say that they won the election. They just did it in a way that...
They stole the election. That's what I would say.
All right. You're saying they stole these, but you're saying you don't believe that there was malfeasance with the machines. You don't believe that there was foreign interference.
Oh, absolutely. Totally. I mean, Mike Lindell has set out to prove this. But look, the last chapter of my book is called Love Versus Hate. If you look at it, the Trump voters voted for Trump because they love their country and they love the fact that Trump has put America first. The Biden voters voted on the basis of hating Trump and doing it through the distorted lens that the media, through which the media had them perceive Trump. Biden, who can think that Biden got more votes than Obama? Biden, who likes Joe Biden? He can't put together a crowd over 100 people. I mean, come on.
It's all very true, and it should be something that we're reminded of more frequently, because it is quite true. You have to think hard. Who really would be excited about a Joe Biden presidency? And I cannot for the life of me figure out, who do you think is actually the president? In other words, Joe Biden doesn't seem to be making decisions. He doesn't seem capable of it. Who do you think is making the decisions?
I don't know. The fact is it's behind the scenes. Who would have picked Kamala Harris? She got 2% of the vote in a Democratic presidential primary that year. 2%. Nobody likes Kamala Harris. You know, she's the, I don't, you know, I would say she's the president, except it's obviously a put together team by Democrat donors.
Right. That's of course the question is who's running the country, and also we've got to go to break, David. But honestly, we know that this is unconstitutional. You can't have a titular president and then have other people actually making decisions. That's completely unconstitutional. When we come back, we'll address that. I'm talking to our friend David Horowitz. The book is The Enemy Within.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding.
Folks, I'm talking to David Horowitz. The book is The Enemy Within. David, you really do believe, as I do, that Biden is not actually acting as the president. Is that not unconstitutional?
It's a pure case of where the 25th Amendment should be invoked. The 25th Amendment allows you to remove a president if he's incapacitated. And this is an incapacitated president. He can read a teleprompter, but that's about it.
But it's like a bad movie. It's really happening.
Frightening movie. You want to talk about a horror film. That's what America's going through right now.
There's no question. But I'm still fascinated. I want to go back. So you really do believe that the election was stolen. You don't have much question about it.
In my final chapter, I go over the evidence. And of course, it hasn't been proven because nobody will try it. I mean, but the rigging of these machines, I mean, you have voting machines that can, they take the votes and they put them into decimal, you know, points, and you can shift from one to another. So you can calculate, and this is what happened in Arizona, that every Trump vote was, they deducted 3% from. So every Trump vote counted for 0.7% of a vote. And every Biden vote counted for 1.3. They just shifted over to Biden. That's how he won. And would you think out of 159 million votes, only 40,000 decided the election?
Well, you understand Mike Lindell and others, Patrick Byrne, they say that that Trump won almost 80 million and that Biden got 68 million. Those are the actual numbers. Now, the problem is they have to get this in front of the Supreme Court. Will the Supreme Court look at it? I don't know.
Cowards. I mean, gosh, I mean, they just, you know, Roberts, all of his bad decisions come out of fear of what the left will do to the court.
Well, look, it's understandable that Roberts is a coward, but I'm surprised that Coney Barrett and Kavanaugh, I'm not understanding what happened. Is it because they're so new that they were intimidated by Roberts, that Roberts made the case we cannot mess with the U.S. election? What do you suppose happened behind the scenes?
I don't do inside the Supreme Court politics. But
does it make any sense to you that Kavanaugh and...
I think it's a conservative mentality, always to play by the rules, not by the reality. And the reality is you have a criminal party. They're gangsters, the Democrats, and they will do anything and say anything to get power.
And you do not believe that Mike Pence could have sent it back to the states on January 6th?
Well, I'm not a constitutional expert, but I didn't think so.
Well, we're almost out of time. Congratulations on the book, The Enemy Within. It's important that we understand these things. David Horowitz, I'm just grateful for your voice, for all that you do and say and write. I hope people who listen to this program will send the video around. And if I can leave people with one thought, go to MyPillow.com, use the code Eric. David Horowitz, thank you so much.
Thank you, Eric.
Folks, I don't want to forget to remind you, Church People is a film that's available at salemnow.com. There's all kinds of stuff available at salemnow.com. You can check it out. If you use the code Eric, who knows what will happen? Who knows? MyPillow will send you slippers. Just use the code Eric and good things will happen. Salemnow.com, Church People is the film. Some friends of mine are in it. They didn't bother to ask me to be in it because they're afraid that I will just suck up all the oxygen in the room. That's the kind of an actor that I am.